The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful in their calling to be your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the reading.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Here is my servant whom I have held, my chosen, with whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard on the street. A bruised reed will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlines await for his teaching. Thus says the Lord, this is God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes of that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeons and from the prisons, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor praise to idols. See that former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them, the word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory, to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Mount Hermon like a young ox. The voice of the Lord splits the fire of flame. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory! The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore. The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessings of peace. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was now, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is a reading from Acts, the 10th chapter. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he has sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did in both Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness for sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the third chapter. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now. For it is proper for us, in this way, to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and enlightened on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, isn't this great weather for celebrating the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord? We had a baptism at the first service, and it was indeed even better then because it was actually raining when people were coming. So I hope that during this past week, as you've been sloshing around and dodging raindrops, that you've taken the opportunity to say, "Thank you for this reminder of my baptism. Thank you for allowing me to walk wet." I hope you didn't get too wet, but that it was a good reminder. "This is my Son, my Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." What great, powerful words of affirmation. What a great way to start a new mission, a new course in life. Hearing powerful words of affirmation. A number of years ago, there was a self-help movement afoot that had those devotees of this movement. What you were supposed to do was write out four or five affirmations about yourself, and then tape those someplace that you would see every day, in your bathroom mirror or on your computer monitor, and then read those every day. "I am capable. I am lovable. I am worthy to be loved. I am honest and can be trusted." Affirmations. And the purpose of this was that as you read these affirmations every day, that you would start feeling more and more confident that indeed this is true. "I am lovable. I am capable. I am honest and trustworthy." They help build confidence, help strengthen that interior part of us that needs affirmation. It seems that we all need affirmation as part of our human psyche. We need to be affirmed and have those parts of ourselves, our spirits and emotional sense, strengthened by these affirmations. I think it's part of our DNA that we seek affirmation. I mean, look at little children. "Mommy, watch me. Clap for me. Pay attention to me." And as we get older, we put the gold star papers on the refrigerator.
We put bumper stickers on our car. My child is an honor student. And as we get older yet, we still seek that affirmation. Does this tie look good with this jacket? We like to have affirmation come from someone else. We like to hear it in our own ears, that kind of reinforcement. Last Sunday, one of the grandfathers of the congregation gave me the videotape of the Christmas program. And through the whole video, I mean, here's the whole crowd, but it's focused on one little child. How proud that grandfather is of that child. How wonderful for him to be able to affirm that little three-year-old or four-year-old in her activity. And how wonderful it is to give affirmation and to receive affirmation from those that we love and those that we respect. Part of that self-help program that I was talking about, one of their goals was to help people make up for lost affirmation. If you grew up in a family or in a household where you didn't hear much affirmation, that this program would help you reconnect with those affirmations from parents. It seems like that's kind of a theme in life. The need for parental or authority to give us affirmation. I've seen a lot of movies that are stories about the successful person who just feels like a failure, even though they maybe have won awards and have great financial success and have achieved many things, they still feel like a failure because their dad or their mom never said, "Good job. I'm proud of you, my child." And we try through our lives to make up for that loss of affirmation that we didn't hear when we were children. Some adults with now going through life seeking affirmation in maybe inappropriate ways because they didn't hear it often enough as children. As we grow up, we need to hear that word, "Good job, I'm proud of you." We all long for affirmation. We long to hear words of praise. We want to be people of value, people who can accomplish something of worth. And we especially want to hear words of affirmation from those we love, from those whom we respect. Those poor children, and maybe you and I are among those, who didn't hear those words of affirmation, who struggle now as adults to take seriously and to believe when someone does give affirmation or praise. How often I've heard someone say, "Oh, that was nothing," when they're just dying to hear, "Good job. Oh, it was nothing." We're not comfortable with that because we didn't hear it often enough as children, maybe. One of the good things of this gospel today is the reinforcement of that great proclamation of God giving affirmation to his son, Jesus Christ. "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. This is my son, my beloved." We, who are the baptized children of God, hear that same affirmation. We also are affirmed in those words of Jesus Christ. The good news for today is that God's affirmation for his children is different from the affirmation that we may not have received in our own homes. It's different because God affirms us. "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." The story of Jesus' ministry starts out with this affirmation. Even before Jesus taught one lesson, told one parable, even before he had cured one sick person or called a single disciple to follow him, even before all of that, God affirms him. This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. He didn't do anything to deserve that. He was given that affirmation freely and totally. Usually we hear affirmations after we've done something good. We bring home a paper with a gold star on it and we get a pat on the back. It's after the fact that we get affirmation most often. Jesus had done nothing to receive those words of love and respect that God gives him. This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. That's called grace. That's God's shining bright love poured out freely and totally. This is God who sustains and creates new life. And we, the children of God, receive this grace, this affirmation, this bright, shining light, the love of God that can soothe our soul, empower us in our spirits. This is what our baptism reminds us. In a few minutes, we'll make an affirmation of our baptism on this feast of the baptism of Jesus. And we will remind ourselves that we are recipients of that grace, that we are the beloved children of God, that we are affirmed and loved by God. We are the baptized. We are the precious children of God. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, baptism became a sign for us of God's unconditional love for each of us. In baptism, by the waters of the new creation, by the faith that we profess, by the action of God, we are marked with the cross of Christ forever. We are marked with the cross of Christ forever. We belong to God's family. At the first service, we celebrated the baptism of Charles Pascal. Charles is 7 years old and asked to be baptized. And as we were preparing for this celebration, I asked him why he wanted to be baptized. Why do you want to do that? He said, because it's a sign that God loves me and I love God, and I will be a part of God's family. And I said, well, how many people do you have in your family? And he said, well, today, 3. Sunday, I can't count that high. He realized at 7 years old that being a part of God's family is the embrace of that encouragement, that affirmation, that love of God being poured out on him. Baptism means a relationship with God, that God says to you and to me, this is my son, my daughter, my beloved ones, with whom I am well pleased, even before we have done anything. In spite of what we've done or what we will do, God's love, God's unconditional love is poured out on us. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that so that we can walk in the light of that baptism, remembering that we are precious, beloved children of God. God, who loves us unconditionally, has called us into this family of faith, has called us to sit here to give return thanks and praise. We are marked with the cross of Christ forever. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. About 30 years ago, one of my mom's sisters from the Midwest came on a vacation to California, and she came home with a tattoo. A shocking thing. She had a tattoo on her shoulder, a little heart or a circle or something, with her husband's name in it. Well, I was just a child. And I remember my mother's sisters just being shocked at this tattoo, but also so impressed with their sister's desire to express and state her love and relationship with her husband. What a thing to say so permanently, so powerfully, I know who I am, and I know who I love. They were impressed with that. When we are baptized, we are marked with the cross of Christ forever. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. When I was talking to Charles, he suggested that maybe a tattoo would be a good idea for baptism. I didn't think his parents would approve, so we moved on to another topic. But there is something about being sealed in a way that we can look at that and know that we're sealed. Many of us wear a wedding ring. And this doesn't make me married, but it reminds me of my marriage. When I am reminded of my relationship with my husband, it strengthens that relationship. When we are reminded of our baptism, we are strengthened in that relationship. Martin Luther said that, gave encouragement, that when you wake up in the morning, before your feet go on the floor, mark the cross on your forehead, make the sign of the cross, and claim that relationship with God. Remember who and whose you are. Before you put your feet on the floor, remember who you are. In your baptism, you are the precious, beloved child of God. In your baptism, you are the beloved in whom God is well pleased. Because we are called into this relationship, we respond in kind. We love one another. We encourage one another. We support one another. We love one another. We respond in kind. When we make our affirmation of baptism this morning, when we reaffirm who we are, there's some statements of what we will do and what we do as Christians who are baptized. And when we stand and say that, pay attention to those five statements and call yourself to those tasks to be people of faith in the world today. We respond to this free gift that God gives to us, this unconditional love, this outpouring of the Spirit. I wish it would just rain so that we would know. Now, if I had more courage, I would have brought my water pistol and squirted everybody to help you remember that you're baptized. I was afraid I'd get thrown out. So one of my friends was giving a sermon similar to this one day, and he had a little water pistol that he had used, and during the sermon, he pulled it out of his pocket, this little squirter thing. And then as the sermon went on, he reached down and pulled up one of those super soakers. And people in the congregation ducked. They did not believe that he wasn't going to soak them with that super soaker. No fear. Jesus Christ has called us into this relationship. We don't need to get soaked physically to remember that baptism, but we do need to remind ourselves in so many ways that we are the beloved children of God. This is my son my daughter, my beloved one, in whom I am well pleased. That's God's affirmation for you today. You are the beloved, the precious child of God, loved unconditionally. Amen.